morning, we go back to the book of Nehemiah. This time, we're going to be in chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. We're going to read just a few verses selected here, so kind of have to follow along with me here. But if you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew, and you can turn to page 507 in that Bible. And on page 507, there you will find Nehemiah chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 27, and as I said, jump around a little bit, so just kind of follow me, if you will. Nehemiah chapter 12. So Nehemiah chapter 12, first of all, beginning with verse 27. The word of God says, verse 27, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem, so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres." And then jump to verse 31. In verse 31, "Then I had the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and I appointed two great choirs, the first proceeding to the right on top of the wall toward the refuse gate." And then over to verse 38. Verse 38 says, "The second choir proceeded to the left, while I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of furnaces to the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim by the old gate, by the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, and the tower of the hundred as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped at the gate of the guard. Then the two choirs took their stand in the house of God, so did I and half of the officials with me." And then down to the middle of verse 42, the middle says, "And the singers sang with Jezariah, their leader, and on that day they offered great sacrifices, and they rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar." Amen. So singing is a huge part of our worship of God as Christ followers. But it's not just a huge part of the church from the ages of Christ. It goes back all the way to the Old Testament, and we see throughout the Old Testament how singing was part of the worship of God. So there's no surprise here that there's an emphasis on singing throughout the history of God's people. And in that singing throughout the history of God's people, there is a common theme that runs through all of it. And that common theme of that singing of worship is having God as the vision of that singing. He's the focus. He's the emphasis of that singing. So this morning, I want to start in a little bit different way. I want to show you an 8-minute video today that reflects songs through the ages that shows not only how the church has worshiped God through singing, but how that worship of God in singing has been emphasizing the great vision we have as we worship our God. So we'll do that now. Thank you. Isn't that great? I love that video. It was done by a guy named David Wesley. Did all the parts a cappella like that. And if you noticed his signs, I hope you did, covered 1,500 years of church history. Hopefully you understand how God has used music throughout the centuries to have us resonate with it. And some of those songs, by the way, certainly resonated with, didn't you? I wanted to share that with you this morning because for two reasons. One is to emphasize that singing has not only shaped the church through the ages, we are a people who sing our faith, but the second reason is because if you notice through those songs that there's a common thread, that God is our vision in those songs. It didn't matter what the genre of the song is, it doesn't matter the rhythm, it doesn't matter the tempo, the style, the meter, the cultural time period in which it was written, God is the focus and the theme of what was sung to us this morning. And those are the two themes that come together today as we continue our study through Nehemiah, a journey back for our journey forward. And today we come to emphasize singing of our faith as we continue to exalt God as our vision in our lives. Now you'll notice that when we come to chapter 12 here toward the end, that I have fast forwarded through a couple of chapters here. So I need to fill in the gaps a little bit. We skipped chapter 10. Again, it's a whole lot of hard to pronounce names. But chapter 10 is actually following from verse 38 of chapter 9. Remember, we talked last week briefly about the fact that the people promised to obey God's laws. And we're told in Nehemiah 10:29 that they took an oath to walk in God's law. But they didn't just say it verbally. They actually signed their names to a document to promise we're going to follow God's laws and statutes. And again, that's a big part of the theme of Nehemiah. It's renewing and restoring the people of God in their commitment to God. And so chapter 10 is basically saying we promise that renewal in our lives. Then when you get to chapter 11, it deals with the repopulating of the city of Jerusalem. The other theme of Nehemiah, besides renewing and restoring the people's faith in God, is the restoring of the walls. And so that has been done. And now that the walls are rebuilt and restored, the people can now move back into Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah here tells us about those who repopulate the city of Jerusalem. Then in chapter 12 at the beginning, Nehemiah focuses on those who returned from the exile who were part of the priestly class, and they came back to Jerusalem. So that's kind of summarizing up to this point. And then we pick it up again here at the end of chapter 12. The walls have been rebuilt. Remember back in chapter 6, verse 15, it says, the wall was completed on the 25th of the month, Elul, in 52 days. They finished the project of the walls. Then there's this interlude here of all these other chapters, and now we go back to what happened with the walls. And what happens is there's this great celebration and this great dedication of the walls being rebuilt. And if you notice in the text here, at the heart of that celebration is singing. Singing. It is the medium to express the renewal, restoration, and recommitment of the people to God to keep him as the center, as the vision of their lives going forward. So I want to focus this morning particularly on this idea of singing as a medium that moves the message forward that God is the vision of our lives. He is our best thought. He is our presence first in our lives. He is our light, as the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, says. So this morning, I want to look at this. I want to see how God as our vision through singing, what we need to do to keep God as the vision through singing. The first thing we need to do is see the priority of singing as praise to our God as his people. See the priority of singing as praise to God as his people. Again, we see this in the dedication and the celebration of the wall here. The Levites lead the way here in verse 27. It says, they came to celebrate the dedication with hymns of thanksgiving and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The Levites were from the tribe of Levi, and their specific task was they were the assistants to the priests in the temple, and their job, part of it, was to be the song leaders of Israel. Now, added to them in verse 31, Nehemiah appoints two great choirs. One of them is led by Ezra, the other is led by Nehemiah. And they go up on the wall. Notice they're marching around the city. One choir goes around one side, the other choir goes around in the other direction, and the officials and the people of Jerusalem are with them in verse 38. So this is a giant parade on the walls. We have prayer walks today, right? This is a praise walk back then. Wouldn't it be great to have a drone back then and to be able to fly over that and just see them walking around the wall, praising God, singing praises to him? And they end up in verse 40, they join up at the temple. The two choirs took their stand in the house of God. So they go to the temple with the people of God. And verse 42 says, and the singers sang. they had a worship leader, notice, named Jezrahiah, the pastor Matt of the day, okay? They were the one leading the choirs, okay? Then verse 43, they offered sacrifices and they rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Now notice it says, even the women and the children rejoiced. In other words, everybody of all ages were gathered together to sing and rejoice before God. And they were brought together because of the vision of what God had done. Verse 43 again says, because God had given them great joy. And so God chooses singing as the medium to convey the joy. Eight times in Nehemiah 12, singing and songs is emphasized. That's not surprising to us, because that is exactly God's will for his people. I can say it categorically. God's will is that we are a people who sing praise to him. I can say that because of the priority of that in the Old Testament. 179 times singing and songs are mentioned in the Old Testament. Again, the emphasis of God's people singing praise to him. For example, Psalm 5:11 says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. People of the Old Testament sang in praise to God. Think back in the Exodus with Miriam and her brother Moses. They sang to God. Deborah and Barak sang in Judges. And most notably, we have David. If you wonder how important is singing praises to God, look at the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms in your Bible. They are songs to be sung to God. Singing is part of the tabernacle dedication, the dedication of the first temple, and the rededication by King Hezekiah. All the Jewish festivals had singing to God. All the Old Testament is singing, okay? Then you also have the New Testament. At least 15 times in the New Testament, we see an emphasis on singing. Listen to what Paul commands in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, Paul writes, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Think about Paul and Silas when they were imprisoned in Philippi. Acts 16:25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. When Jesus and his disciples finished the Lord's Supper, as they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, it says as they left, they sang a hymn. In fact, you could say that Jesus' life is bookended by singing. When the announcement of the miraculous conception of Mary in Luke chapter 1, what does she do? She sings in praise. And in Revelation chapter 5, what are the angels doing around Jesus? They are singing the worth of Jesus in heaven. The people of God sing because God's given us the medium as his desire for worshiping him. Along with his word and prayer and offering, singing is part of that worship. It is a gift of God, friends, as a priority to God. It allows us to take music and to add our voices as a praise of God, as the vision of all of our lives. Listen to what Pastor John Ortberg says. From the beginning, the faith of the people of Israel, the faith of the people of the church, has been a faith that is expressed and strengthened in song. We are a people, he writes, who sing our faith. When we sing, the words have a way of getting from our head to our hearts, right? Gloria Gaither, with her husband Bill, did much to change worship music in this generation. And she says, songs of worship are a piece of portable theology through the words of songs. We sing and get into our minds and hearts truth that allows us to express who God is, what he's done, what he's doing, and how we interact with him and how we're affected and engaged by our God. We sing with our minds and our hearts to lift up God and engage him with his effect on our lives. Pastor John Piper puts it this way: the reason we sing is because there are depths and heights and intensities and kinds of emotions that will not satisfactorily be expressed by more prosaic forms, like even poetic readings. There are realities that demand to break out of prose into poetry, and some demand that poetry be stretched into song. So music and singing are necessary to Christian faith and worship for the simple reason that the realities of God and Christ, creation and salvation, heaven and hell, are so great that when they are truly and fully and felt and known, they demand more than discussion and analysis and description. They demand poetry and song and music. Singing, he writes, is the Christian's way of saying, God is so great that thinking will not suffice. There must be deep feeling, and talking will not suffice. He writes, there must be singing. The great reformer Martin Luther said, next after theology, I give to music the highest place and the greatest honor. Experience proves that next to the Word of God, only music deserves to be extolled as the mistress and governess of the feelings of the human heart. The people in Nehemiah's day understood that. They saw the priority of singing to express their vision of their God, to express the joy of responding to his work. To have God as our vision through singing is to have singing as a priority in our lives. But second, to have God as our vision through singing, we need to also see our participation in singing for God, to God, and of God as his people. To see our participation in singing for God, to God, and of God as his people. Clearly, we see here that Nehemiah has congregational involvement of the people in singing. Now, true, they are led by specialists, quote unquote, in singing. The Levites were the ones who led that choir, that singing together. Then you had the choir themselves, and that's kind of like our worship team today. Plus, you had Jezariah, the worship leader. And beloved, it is good to have these people who do that. But they are not the end of all our singing in the church. They are, as Matt said this morning, they are the leaders, but not the performers. We are the performers. Here's how I picture what the worship team does and Pastor Matt does. Picture the old days when you would go to a wealthy house and a butler or a doorman would meet you there. And they would welcome you into the master's house. But you would never stay in the foyer and talk and celebrate the butler. You would never stay there and talk about how good he is. They are there to usher you in to see the master. That's what our worship team does. They usher us in to see the master. They facilitate our worship of God and singing. We don't stop with them. We are the worshipers. So therefore, we are all called to participate in worshiping God with singing. Again, notice verse 43. You've got the men, you've got the women, and you've got the children. As someone said, no one is a spectator, no one is watching. Everyone is engaged in praising God, and they are doing so with great joy. We all participate. Why? Because God commands us in his word to sing. The example of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Jesus through what Paul writes in Colossians and Ephesians. We also participate in singing because it delights God to hear us praise him in song. God is delighted to hear us sing to him. We sing as well because of what it does to encourage, speak truth to, and admonish one another as fellow believers. Singing together has an effect, Paul writes, on one another. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We also sing because of what it does for our souls. I love this quote by William Law. He wrote a book called A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life in the 1700s. Listen to what he said. Just as singing is a natural effect of joy in the heart, so it is also a natural power of rendering the heart joyful. There is nothing that so clears a way for our prayers, nothing that so disperses dullness of heart, Nothing that so purified the soul from poor and little passions, nothing that so opens heavens or carries your heart so near to it as the songs of praise. Our songs, our singing make a difference in our souls, and also can make a difference in our community. I love verse 43 says, the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. Everybody outside the walls could hear this joyful singing. Wouldn't it be something if a neighbor came to our church service one Sunday morning as we're singing praise to God and knocked on our door and said, could you guys please tone it down? Come on. I'm trying to watch the football game and you guys are out there making all this noise. Wouldn't that be something? We are called to participate in singing. However, I know what many of you are thinking, you may be reluctant to do so. First of all, because you don't think you can sing. And it's true that singing for some of us is hard. There's the old saying, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Pastor Max Lucado says he's a prison singer, always without a key and behind a few bars. And I confess to you this morning, I love to sing. It's part of my Welsh ancestry, I think. But I know that not everybody is there. You can be limited in singing by lack of skill or a limited voice or range or maybe tone deaf, or you maybe have health issues, even being able to breathe to sing. And yet we can still join in even quietly with our voice of praise. Look at verse 42. It says the singers sang in verse 42. Now that word sang there literally means caused their voices to be heard. Caused their voices to be heard. Beloved, you can cause your voice to be heard even if it's quietly and not of great quality. To be praising God. And you can always fall back on the King James translation of Psalm 98:4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Pastor David Roper says, lift up your voice, harmonious, hoarse, or harsh, sing. But you might also be reluctant to sing because you don't really like singing or that particular song that is being sung. Ultimately, that's a heart issue before the Lord. And it's very different from a limited singing ability versus whether or not I am available and have availability to do what God wants me to do. Is it really a question of ability or availability? The Bible says to give preference to one another in love, which is part of singing different songs. I don't see anywhere in Scripture that gives us permission to not sing because we don't like to sing or the songs we sing. Be like saying, I don't pray. I don't like to pray. I don't like to read the Bible. I don't like to share Jesus. See, obedience takes precedence over preference. Even if you're just mouthing the words, that's okay. It's still causing your voice to be heard, which leads to this last point. Lastly, to have God as our vision through singing, we need to see our preparation for singing in praise to God as our people, as His people. Our preparation for singing in praise to our God as His people. If you go back to verse 30, before all the celebration, all the singing goes on, verse 30 says that there was purification. Verse 30 says the priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. In other words, they set themselves aside to be present with God. We don't know if they did that through a ritual bath or if they did it through praying or offering a sacrifice. The point is, before they did the worship, before they did the singing, they came with a prepared heart. And what that means to us in worship, in song, is this. Make sure, first of all, that your thoughts in singing are on the Lord, reflecting His goodness and grace. Someone said, if we are oblivious to who He is and what He is doing, then we have nothing to sing about. Make sure that we are focused on the Lord. Make sure that we're dealing with our sin. Psalm 66:18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I need to make sure, God, I want to make sure I'm as clean as possible to sing this song of praise to you. And also make sure that you're yielded to the Holy Spirit. Interesting that in Ephesians 5:18 and 19, the verse that comes before what Paul commands us to do in singing is verse 18 of Ephesians 5 that says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Then he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you begin making sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Conversely, I would argue that one of the marks of not being filled with the Spirit is that we won't sing. Maybe it's not singing in that moment. Maybe you need to say, okay, I need to let other people sing truth over me. And yet, let me just add this caveat. We can make sure that we can sing not just with aspiration, but with actuality. Singing a truth can move us to the reality of what God is speaking to us. Let me give you an example. This morning we sang, "You hear me when I call, you are my morning song, whom shall I fear?" Now you may have seen those words on the screen and you may have thought, I can't sing that because I'm not hearing God right now. He's not my morning song. I'm barely awake right now. And who shall I fear? I am fearful. But I would argue that when you sing that truth, even though you're not feeling it, you sing the truth to become the actuality and reality to move you toward God. Because you see, singing is an expression of the faith you have, but it's also a vehicle in which to strengthen the faith you want to have. It moves you to greater faith when you sing the truth. I know this morning singing is not an end in itself. The key is a heart warm to God to express praise to Him. But a prepared heart leads to a praising heart. A prepared heart leads to a praising heart. We get ready to sing. We pray. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We confess. We ask God, Lord, make these truths, these words, not just what I said, but what I believe. Psalm 92:1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High." It was really good for the people of Nehemiah to sing praises to God. It is good, it is right for God's church today to sing praises to God. And beloved, we are a church committed to being a singing church so that we can join God's people down through the ages to know that God is and God always be still our vision as we sing. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for the gift of your word and truth that reminds us of how the Christian life is to be lived. And yes, Lord, we live it through your word. We live it in prayer and offering. We live it in sharing the good news of Christ. And we live it through our voices lifted in praise to you. Lord, whether it's in a monotone or very melodic, Lord, whether it's loud or quiet, Lord, it's given so that we can give praise to you as our vision. God, you are an amazing God. You are awesome to give us so many gifts in life and beauty to be able to express truth beyond just study, to be able to poetically and with music and song to sing and give praise to you. God, you're amazing to give us that gift. May we not take it for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.